When it comes to catching a flick, Kansas Cityans have a few options. Many choose to spend their nights at home watching Netflix. Others will venture to the Cinemark or AMC theaters. But there are still a healthy portion of those who go to the local cinema. While they might not have the IMAX screens, the 3D gimmicks, or a large selection of showtimes, there's still something big going on in these little theaters. This begs the question, how do local theaters stay open? With us today are a handful of local theater owners. They are Brian Mossman. He's owner of the Fine Arts Group, which operates theaters like the Rio and the Glenwood Arts, which closed this year. Brian, nice to have you.
Good morning, Steve.
Welcome. Adam Roberts is also here. He's owner of Screenland Armor and Screenland Crossroads, known as Tapcade. Tapcade opened this year, and Screenland Armor has been around for a couple of years. Adam, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thanks, Steve.
Jerry Harrington's also back. He's owner of the Tivoli Cinemas in Westport, my home away from home. He has been around since 1983. Jerry, how are you?
Hey, Steve.
Well, I want to just get started right off the bat here and just ask, why should I go to the local theater, Jerry? What do you guys offer?
Well, what we all offer is stuff you can't, generally you can't see in commercial theaters. And even if you can, you're one, you're supporting local business, but two, you're with people of like minds. I mean, it tends to, our audiences are tend to be very different than a commercial theater. You know, they're it's just different. It's a different environment. And, you know, I like that. When I go out of town, that's where I go. Although you will see me in a commercial theater sometimes, too. But
so if I stumble across you somewhere, I shouldn't be outraged.
Yeah, people always say, you're in the wrong theater. And I said, yeah, but I want to go see the Avengers, you know?
Brian Mossman, what's your pitch?
Well, I want to clarify, the Glenwood Arts didn't close. It just moved down the street.
You moved down the street.
To the
that's
Ranch
right.
Mart.
Yeah, that's right.
I think all three of these theaters are independently owned, obviously, but they have their own niche programming, and they're kind of like neighborhood theaters. People that tend to go to these theaters come back to these theaters. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing is the programming. The type of films that we all offer are somewhat different than the commercial venues.
Do you guys see yourselves as being in competition with each other, Adam?
Not really. I mean, like they both mentioned, we're very different from one another. It's just like different local restaurants. We offer similar products but done differently. Like Jerry's Place and Brian's Places are very different from our place. Our audiences are significantly different, I think. But
how so? Tell me about that.
I think everyone shows different types of films, and we do have crossover audiences. But I think when someone goes to the Tivoli, for example, they have some a different expectation than when they walk into Screenland in a fine arts theater. All the theaters, owners, and environments are, I think, a celebration of the traditional theater. And everyone, the staff, I think, love movies, but they're just different. It's just like everyone has their own unique. I mean, we definitely go to a celebration of the 80s, 90s cinema.
Yeah.
I think the Tivoli does as well. You walk and you see the neon lights above you. It just feels more friendly. It feels like your neighborhood theater, like Brian said. And that's what all of our, I think, our theaters offer that are different.
You know, one thing I've been curious about, and Jerry, I'll start with you. How do you guys pick your films? And you've been quoted as saying there's a lot of crap out there that you've got to sort of sort through. How do you pick what you do?
All three of us curate. We're curators. We're film
curators.
That's
what I'm wondering about. So you determine...
Not always. I mean, there's times politically I have to play a movie because the distributor needs me to play a movie.
He needs it because why?
Well, because the producer wants this theater. There are some producers that are very micromanaging, and they go through each market and they say, I want this theater. And so, you know, you do it. I mean, the film business is about relationships. Like any business, it's about, you know, I've been doing this for 35 years. I know a lot of people. I just went to CinemaCon in Las Vegas to basically hang out with people that I've known for 30 years.
But so you say you're a curator, so you sit down and watch a lot of films and figure out.
I always look for a little gem, which, you know, it's harder and harder to find these days because people are all looking for that. But I looked a film recently called Diplomacy, which I really like.
Yeah.
Very
the
small
World War
movie.
The thing about would Paris be flooded and destroyed? Yeah.
Yeah, and would my audience want to sit through that, and they did. Mm-hmm. But I know that because, you know, it's like Brian. Brian's been doing this for almost as long as I have. So
Brian,
we kind of know
how
our
do you
audience.
Figure out what you want to show?
One more year than you. I started in 82.
Really?
But I think both places.
So you're the grand old man here then.
Well.
Oh, but I was in the business in 81.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm older than you
See,
are.
I was a customer when Jerry was probably working in the theater.
Yeah,
right.
But I think with Jerry and I, we both probably, we do listen to our customers through emails people ask to play a certain film.
Do people email you and say,
oh, all the time. I recently played the Hunting Ground, you know, and one of those films that it has a small audience, but we will listen to the customers and we will play the film. And I'm like Jerry, we do look for films that are unique and that will have an audience. Kansas City is very fortunate to have these screens and these number of films.
Very fortunate.
And, you know,
I'll attest to that. Yeah.
Right. And it's, you know, I love films. Jerry loves film, and we program for our audience.
Well, are you guys talking to each other about, hey, I'm going to show this? Are you going to show that? Do you coordinate?
Well, a lot of times it sort of doesn't come up. I mean, there's a lot of movies we show together because it's just that's the way it is now in certain films.
Go ahead, Brian.
Well, one thing is, you know, you do have those avid moviegoers that will go to all the locations, but you also have people that are territorial. They'll only go to, say, my theater or Jerry's theater. So that's we play films at the same time, which is called Date and Date, and both theaters do well because people support their neighborhood theater. If they go to the Westport area or if they go out to Johnson County, they do support them.
Mm-hmm. Adam Roberts, again, with the Screenland Armor and the Screenland Crossroads, Tapcade is your new theater. How do your shows differ from what your colleagues are offering here?
Like I said, they both play very similar films with each other. Sometimes we'll play the same film that the Tivoli or Fine Arts will play, and we'll all three be playing it. But a lot of times we venture towards the more offbeat or action, sci-fi, and horror.
How do you figure
films.
Out what you're going to show, though?
I mean, just like these guys, I watch a ton of movies. I get, you know, packs of screeners or online, links all the time, and I'm constantly watching them. And it's just, you know, I'm a fan of just movies in general, but I'm a fan of those specific movies. And, it's pretty easy to see what's horrible and what's great. And a good example is this last year we played the film The Babadook, and that did extremely well for us. I mean, we played that for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it did great. And at the same time, you have them playing completely different independent films. And it all kind of works together. You know, we all kind of complement each other. When I'm not playing something, Jerry might be playing it, or Brian might be playing it, or they both might be playing it. We all kind of have this different feel for what's good out there, and I think what we know each other will play and won't play.
Well, if you see a film, can you get it?
Yes and no. I mean, there's always it's just like any other business. There's a lot of politics in films. I think more than people understand with bookings in terms of, you know, this film's going to come out VOD, and do you want to play a movie that comes out at the same time? You can buy it on iTunes, and then there's, you know, is this really my audience? This seems more like Brian's audience, or you know, the time of year. There's so many factors that come into play, and then it is, does it make sense long term with my whole month schedule? Does it make sense to play this for a week or 3 weeks? So there's a lot of factors that come into play. But then if it's a great movie, it's a great movie, and you find time to play those movies, and hopefully audiences come out and support them.
Jerry, you're going to hop in here. And
well, it used to be we had the luxury of time. You know, you could say, oh, I really want to play this movie, but I can't play it for like 2 months. But now with VOD and everything, you have to go when the distributor wants to go, because everyone needs to understand that it's not always our decision. A lot of times I want to play a movie, but I can't for various reasons, or I won't get the film because the film distributor, they sell the movie. We're only renting the movie from them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's their decision. It's not mine. It's their decision.
So are you churning through more films every year because of video on demand these days?
And also just, you know, the way, you know, movies, there's this 3 to 6 month window now for it to come out on Blu-ray. I lost my train of thought.
But Brian, you're turning through more films too?
Well, yeah, I think both of us are. You know, just go back a few years, films did play longer. But now with really, if you like the independent films, you should be on each one of these theaters' email list or Facebook page, because I hear it all the time. I'm sure Jerry does. Why don't you play movie A? And I'll say, well, it already played over at Jerry's theater.
Yeah.
Or we played it last month. Mm-hmm. So they come and go so fast that you need to look at each one's schedule of what's playing.
I'm wondering how much pressure you guys feel to compete with the bigger houses these days that have these big cushy seats, and they're serving dinner and they're serving wine and liquor and anything else you want. I mean,
Steve, that's my theater.
I know it. Well, you're doing it wide.
That's something that Butch Rigby, who started Screenland, started with. I mean, he was the first one in Kansas City to have the big comfy seats, the alcohol, and the food and stuff. But it is a huge, chasm between traditional seats, which we still have, and I love. I mean, and then you have this huge stadium arenas. But real quick, I've only been in here for a couple of years, booking movies, but these guys know. I mean, there's a lot of, 10 years ago, you wouldn't see AMC playing a lot of these independent films that only Jerry O'Brien would be playing. Now they're competing for the same films that AMC used to have no business playing or wouldn't play, and same thing goes for retro films. Those used to be the bread and butter of independent cinema. You have a Cinemark playing, a movie that we would fill holes with, and now we're competing with them for the independent film
retro
titles.
Retro films, you mean what by that?
Like this weekend, we're playing The Goonies and Back to the Future. So when there's a weekend when we have...
A film that's 20 or 30 years old.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they're actually celebrating their 30-year anniversary. So, we're playing these same films that you might see AMC play, and that used to just never happen or wouldn't happen as often. Now every week you have them playing these anniversary films or unique films, and they're, taking some of our audience, or they're playing... Boyhood will play in those their two theaters, but randomly like three AMCs, and their buying power is just so strong, it's hard to keep up.
Well, going back to my original question, which Adam waylaid me. Thanks, Adam.
No, sorry about that.
No, how do you guys compete when you don't have the big cushy seats and the dinner and all that stuff?
I think it's the loyal following. I don't think you need to have – I think my seats are comfortable, but we –
But they're not the big cushy things.
They're not the big leather seats. No, yeah. I don't know that you really need that. If you have a good operator, you have good films, people will show up. Because I know when Jerry's probably the same way. When you play a true independent art film in an AMC, because the commercial films are low, they will dabble in the art films, that I will do better than AMC.
A lot better.
Really?
People think that we are a smaller operator, smaller theaters. That doesn't mean that we don't do business. I mean, we've both been around for over 35 years. That says a lot.
Hey, how do you know if you're doing better than the AMC theater?
Well,
you have spies, right?
Spies. No, we have access to see the numbers.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Are you going to add the big cushy seats and start serving dinner, or is that not in the game plan?
Well, Jerry and I don't drink. We'll leave that to Adam.
No, we do eat.
I'm not asking about you. I'm asking about your customers.
I don't plan on doing that. No,
they're it's just different. I mean, it's, as I joke, when people ask me, were you putting in Barca loungers, I said, my entire audience would be asleep in 5 minutes, I mean, we just don't show that kind of movie, and we are more traditional. I mean, Adam's more, the sort of cutting edge on a certain level, but that's what his focus is, and that's what he's doing, and ours is, I'm a movie theater guy. I'm not... I understand, the changes. I kind of rolled with them over the years. But I like Barca Lounge. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I just don't think for what we do, it would really work.
So you're not feeling – how about a broader food menu?
Oh, I am not a restaurateur.
Bring me a hamburger, Jerry.
I do not want to get into that. I mean, if – and look, you have to just walk across the street and you have five restaurants. So I my customers don't really need that. They know.
And I mean, Brian,
we have arrangements with with restaurants in the area. So
I know when I go to a movie, I don't like the distraction, either it be the food wrappers or whatever.
Yeah.
Or the odor. We've had people sneak in hamburgers. And when they leave, you go in the auditorium and I have draperies, and believe it or not, the auditorium will smell like hamburgers for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So I don't allow that to come in, and it's messy.
So, Adam, this is a generational difference here in the way people want to view a film?
Yes and no. So we're kind of the weird in between. So we're not We don't do – our new location does service in the theater, like you see at like Alma Draft House or the mm-hmm. Dine-In AMCs. But at our Armor location, it's still very old school. And I mean, you can bring in – we sell some – a little bit more than your traditional concession. But – and, of course, all the alcohol. But the way we show films is very similar to these guys. And I think when people come in that have never been to an independent theater at any of our locations, they're blown away that – there's so much care in showing the films, not advertising, you know, Snapple, that we really care about, you know, the actual experience of watching a movie in the dark with a crowd that really wants to see a film. I mean, there's nothing better than seeing a great comedy with a crowd that just absolutely loves it in a theater with curated by guys and the staffs that just absolutely love films.
Right.
Jerry, you mentioned you're just back from CinemaCon in Las Vegas.
Right.
Give us some sense of what's going on in the trade across the country, across the world.
There's a whole world at CinemaCon that's sort of the underground.
Yeah.
That's what I am. See, I this year I did not go to the big luncheons where the big studios show their product reel and then bring out a star like Tom Cruise was there and all these people were there. I didn't go to that. I mean, the food's bad, for one. And so I can't really speak about it. But it is where people postulate what's going to happen in the next year and assess what the business is like.
Is the business changing?
Oh, constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything, because of digital, because of computers, you know, our world's changing rapidly. And I don't think... The three of us here wouldn't even want to venture to predict where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you mentioned a little bit ago that you know that Kansas City is a great hub for these kinds of films. Why is that? What is it about Kansas City that attracts an independent film viewing audience?
Well, I think it's because we've been in the business so long that we've built up a loyal clientele. And as a late filmmaker, Stan Brakhage, once said, it's okay to think while watching movies. And I think that my customers and Jerry's and as well, and probably Adam's too, they like to think when they see a movie. Mm-hmm. We might play something edgy. We might play a period piece. I have nothing against AMC or the bigger theaters, but I don't play the big commercial, I call them bubblegum movies. It's not that I don't go to them, but I prefer the independents. Once you get hooked on the independents, you're hooked for life. It's like going into a restaurant, you're not used to the food. Sample it once, you'll be back.
You're preaching to the choir here. Adam, what's the best film you've seen in the last couple of years that you might recommend to our listeners?
Oh, That's a question you just throw out and put somebody on the spot. Like,
yeah.
It's like, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Well, I know. I'm sorry. Yeah, anyone else want to jump in here? You can think about it for a second.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
I should have warned you guys ahead of time.
Yeah, I needed it. I can think of a lot of movies I love. I mean, but, boy, I have, I don't know.
You stumped the panel.
There you go.
I mean, I can say, go rent The Lady Eve, but. That's an old movie.
What's the best film you're showing right now?
The movie we opened Friday is a movie I really like.
Which is?
The Wrecking Crew.
About the musicians
about
and
the
studio musicians
that were basically a band that created the sound of a lot of people.
Brian, real quickly.
Well, a good example is, like, we're playing a movie, I've not seen it yet, but it was our biggest grossing film over the weekend was Seymour, An Introduction.
Oh, yeah. I like that film. Yeah. I was out there.
And we're going to hold it over for another
week.
Terrific.
Adam, how about you?
We have Ex Machina coming out this weekend, and it's terrific. It's one of my favorites of the year so far.
And it's about?
It's a movie that I knew going in it was about a robot, and that's really all I knew. And then I walked out, and my mind was just blown just thinking about it over and over again. Just really well directed. Just
neat.
Something you need to see. It's playing at a lot of theaters, and I think a couple of us may be showing it. Brian, you showing it?
No, it's done very well, though. Watch the trailer.
It's really
amazing.
Interesting.
No, I hear good things.
We're out of time. Brian Mossman, owner of the Fine Arts Group, which operates theaters like the Rio and the Glenwood Arts. Adam Roberts, owner of the Screenland Armor and Screenland Crossroads. And Jerry Harrington with the Tivoli Cinemas in Westport. Gentlemen, thanks so much for a good conversation.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.